The Radio Today programme with Audioboo.
Welcome to the Gibson Room in London's NoHo, courtesy of our friends at the Radio Academy. We're celebrating the 40th birthday of an old friend. The London Broadcasting Company, London's big conversation, it paved the way in commercial speech radio and it's still hugely successful. And its breakfast show host is Nick Ferrari. You did very well there, chairing an event about yourselves.
Well, I think if you look at the quality of the people that I had to my left and to my right, and genuinely, I was humbled. Sandy Waugh gave me the background notes just before the weekend, and I was reading up. And obviously, I knew everybody. Of course, I knew everybody. Of course, I know people like Torin, and I know James. But to have the opportunity to have that level of expertise, and I tell you what also came across from all of the panel, the extraordinary affection they felt for LBC. It's like a school or a college that you actually really enjoyed. And I understand there was no problem getting these guys to come back. I feel humbled and privileged to have done it, genuinely.
Let's have a word with James. James, you said on the panel that you always wanted a job at LBC. Good Lord, you now run it. That must make you feel great.
It was. I mean, it was in the early 90s when I was on work experience at Gray's Inn Road, and it was just a fantastic opportunity at the time for someone who has radio in his blood. And I wanted a job. They wouldn't give me a job, but yeah, 20 years later, I'm now running the place. It's a huge honour, and as we've seen tonight, an enormous responsibility, actually.
It's had its ups and downs and it's changed format several times, but it seems to be more successful and more established than ever.
Yeah, I think it has had many incarnations. You know, it's had times when it's done anything but talk about the news, where it's your sort of favourite biscuit and what's in your handbag, to then going 24/7 Syria. But what we have tried to do is really go back to the core, and that is about the big issue stories. It's about breaking news. It's about presenters who have an opinion, who are not boring. They're not vanilla.
And I remember life begins at 40. So you have matured by the time you're 40. You've had your college excesses. You've maybe had a couple of dalliances or romances that haven't worked. At 40, you're ready to be serious. You're ready to give something to the world. And that's mirrored at LBC.
What is your favourite biscuit, by the way?
I'm not allowed biscuits, unfortunately. My brutal boss makes me carrot batons to keep me slim. He's not doing very well.
On a more serious point, one of the things that came out of that conversation, I think, was that there is a difference between the Australian and the American idea of the presenter is the most important thing, and what you've done always at LBC, which is to say that the caller, the listener, is the person around whom you build your content.
Oh, completely. The callers are incredibly important, much more than the supporting cast. If this was a music station, they would be our hit records. And I think people get obsessed of, can we get this guest or that talking head? But actually, you know, we have a huge seam of content in our audience, and often their stories are much more interesting than the latest head of state or, person in power.
Let me tell you, I'm on the front line and it's impressed upon all the presenters. Guests are used to prime the pump. They're important and sometimes they have a degree of knowledge, but the stories, the fascinating life stories, the core blow me moment or bugger me Doris moment will come from a caller. It will not come from a union rep or someone like that.
Just a quick word about Call Clegg, your weekly phone-in with the Deputy Prime Minister.
Yeah, Thursdays, 9 a.m. LBC 97.3 FM, that would be. Yep.
I love his 40th birthday message where he talks about being abused about immigrants and what have you, and then says, but that's with the his friends in the Tory cabinet, not with you. Mm. He's turned into a very good broadcaster.
Well, don't say turned into. The reason he's in that job is if you go back to those TV debates, he aced two of them. You could even argue he won all three. He certainly won two. He probably drew the third. So the reason that he's in the post now is that he is very media savvy. He's also brutally honest. He's never asked for any of the questions. He's never seen any of the questions, and that comes across.
And would you do Ask Ed?
Well, look, I think, the Deputy, Nick Clegg is there in his capacity as the Deputy Prime Minister. He is not there with a sort of half an hour free ride to spout about the Liberal Democrats' latest ideas. Would I do Ask Ed? Yeah, I would. The invite is there. When can he start?
James Rea, Nick Ferrari, thank you very much.
Thank
and happy birthday, LBC.
Happy birthday, 40 and keep just kicking on.
Let's just grab a quick word with one of the other panellists. Torrin Douglas, hello, former BBC media correspondent. You covered the launch of LBC for Campaign. It was a terrible station, wasn't it, when it started?
It was awful. It was being run by newspaper people who just didn't know how to run radio. They hadn't the right staff. It was a disaster, and it became very embarrassing very quickly. Indeed, the IBA in its annual report said how embarrassing they found it, and that's not something that they would do naturally. It immediately became an issue in Parliament. Gerald Kaufman got up a few weeks later and said LBC has no listeners, it has no advertising, it's breaking all of its contract with the IBA. Why not put it out of its misery? And indeed, by Christmas, the managing director and the chairman had both been fired.
I can remember coming down to London from Nottingham and starting work at the BBC and hearing this thing called LBC for the first time in 1979. And looking back at it, golden days, you know. This was Bob and Doug at breakfast. It was Brian Hayes, Good Morning London. It was, you know, Peter Allen was on, wasn't he? They managed to find a voice that the BBC had not found.
Very much so. They found their feet, helped by a BBC bigwig. They got Marshall Stewart, who had been running the Today programme on Radio 4 and had transformed it from the Jack DeManio days. He'd been at Today for 4 years. He was poached once they got new management in, and he was the one who started improving it. And also Ron Onions, who again was formerly BBC but had seen radio in America. And so they had a good team. And as you say, in the 70s, the later 70s, LBC was absolutely firing on all cylinders. It was much sharper than the BBC. It used actuality. It had lots of really bright young reporters. I mean, John Snow started there, as you say. Peter Allen was a political correspondent. Lots and lots of people who then went on to populate all sorts of broadcasting jobs in the BBC, in Channel 4, in ITV, and in commercial radio.
You alluded to the fact that perhaps it's a shame that LBC or a version of it was never allowed to be national. Do you think it would work if it was allowed by some miracle to be a national service now?
I think it would be very difficult. I think news is expensive, and I think it's very hard to see the commercial model that would make that work. But I think if it had been done differently on the way up, we would be looking at a different situation. The BBC is hugely well-funded, and it spends its money pretty wisely most of the time. It's going to be a lot more difficult for it now with the licence fee shrinking in real terms and so on. But the BBC is a real class act, and it would be nice if it had greater competition in the speech arena from commercial radio than it does.
Thank you, Torrin. I've grabbed one of LBC's current presenters, Ollie Mann. We hear you.
I think you'll find the terminology you're looking for is rising star.
Rising stars, yeah. We hear you. Well, we don't, because we're asleep.
But yes, you're all asleep when I'm covering
you're
Duncan
on overnight. What's your experience of going in there? We've heard a lot of people say how marvellous it is. Is it a marvellous place to go and work?
Yeah, it's a really exciting, I mean, with all respect to my girlfriend, I've had the most fun of my life presenting those shows, because it's the listener interactive element. It's the fact that anyone could call and you don't know what they're going to say. And I've had celebrities call me, I've had drug and drink addled people call me to talk about their experiences. So all that is brilliant. And actually, it just, if anything, what I found reassuring listening to the retrospective, I suppose, of 40 years of how the station's worked, is that, you know, it's different to the BBC now, but actually it always was. I think if you're of my generation, you kind of assume 40 years ago they must have had a lot more budget. You know, they were talking about doing things like with drama and, you know, weird little formats and stuff. It's like, I was always slightly on the fly, but that's kind of what makes it great.
We're being hushed out. Ollie Mann, thank you. Let's have some radio news, shall we?
The Radio Today programme.
Yeah, thank you, Trevor. It's Stuart here this week with the radio news while Roy Martin is on holiday. And we start with some reaction to last week's DAB Ding Dong on the Radio Today programme. Ford Ennals from Digital Radio UK told us there was a plan for small stations unable at the moment to get on DAB.
I know that a number of them, including some of the UTV stations, have said they'd like a path to digital. For small stations,
where there's comparable cost and comparable audiences, and that's exactly what Ofcom are developing. I think, to be fair, you know, it's fairly early on, and they haven't had the chance to formally communicate it, and I think that's what's missing.
Well, that was Ford Ennals speaking last week. He's now had a letter from the UKRD chief executive, William Rogers, who's not happy about some of what he said on this podcast, as well as on Radio 4's media show and in the press. I asked William Rogers why he was so cross about it.
Well, because it's simply not true. And I think when DRUK starts to invent situations to further the interests of the argument they're creating, then we're all in trouble because you don't get a sensible dialogue or debate. The localised DAB trial that he's talking about that happened in Brighton, and I've read that report and discussed it with the initiator because it was not, in fact, a trial initiated by either the government or Ofcom. It was a private trial. And the one thing that is very clear about that is that there is an enormous amount of work to do. It is not at this stage currently a replacement for FM for local commercial radio stations. And indeed, it says that in the report itself, if you read it properly. So it's very annoying when these things are blatantly misrepresented by Digital Radio UK. And I can only assume that they simply haven't read the report and they're just clutching at straws to try and present an argument that favours the case for DAB switchover.
And you're a bit upset as well that they're writing to local MPs in areas where you've got radio stations, telling them things that contradict what you believe.
Yes, in fact, DRUK have written to, I assume it's a number of members of Parliament, representing views that certainly do not represent the views of the local stations concerned. And we've taken steps to speak to members of Parliament who we are aware have received those letters to correct the impression that in any way, shape or form, Digital Radio UK is speaking on behalf of those local stations. And in fact, it's worse than that, because what we've also now discovered is that one particular member of Parliament was advised by Digital Radio UK that the spectrum that would be vacated by the larger local and regional stations, either run commercially or by the BBC, would in fact be put back out into the marketplace for local commercial radio stations and community stations. And of course, that is categorically the opposite of what's intended. Yes, some of that spectrum may well be recycled for some community stations, but both Ofcom and indeed the Minister only a couple of weeks ago made it very clear that that spectrum would not be released back out to local commercial radio stations. So it's yet another example of complete misrepresentation of what the facts are. And my communication with Ford Ennals is simply to make it clear to him that we won't sit back and allow him to misrepresent the case, and we will take action and we will correct that case when he misrepresents it to members of Parliament. It's just not acceptable.
OK, and just one final question. Last week, when all this was going on, you were announcing plans for a new station on DAB in Surrey. How does that fit with your strategy?
Oh, it's completely logical. We've never believed that DAB is a replacement platform for FM. We have completely accepted and indeed agree that it is a part of the radio ecology and therefore is best used in that way. So we'll be launching an incremental service called Eagle 3, which is targeted at young people, and it's completely in line with our views on this issue. DAB is a perfectly acceptable incremental platform, but is not, should not, and will not be a replacement for local commercial radio stations on FM. So it's a completely logical extension of our strategy.
That's William Rogers, the CEO of the local radio operator UKRD. Well, Digital Radio UK told us in a statement that it's written to MPs to reassure them that in the event of any future transition to digital, the future of local radio is secure. It says it has made the point that DCMS is determined to sustain the rich diversity of local radio and that FM will be sustained alongside DAB. You can see the full Digital Radio UK response to William Rogers on Radio Today. .co.uk. And in eRadio this week, you can read more about that small-scale local DAB trial that was done in Brighton. On to the rest of the news from the radio industry this week now. And Global Radio says it's considering further the decision by the Competition Appeals Tribunal to dismiss their appeal against the Competition Commission ruling that the group must sell stations in seven areas of the UK in order to complete the takeover of Real and Smooth Radio. Stations will have to be sold in Scotland, North and South Wales, Yorkshire, the North East, the North West and the East Midlands, and unless Global, of course, has another chance to appeal in some way. Former Global COO Don Thompson has been made CEO of Celador Radio. He's been at the group for 4 years after joining originally as a non-executive director. Celador, of course, owns the Breeze Network in the south of England, as well as running Jack FM stations in Bristol and on the south coast. The Sunrise Radio brand looks like it's being extended to another two radio stations, which are under the same ownership. Buzz Radio will become Sunrise Radio 2, while Kismat Radio is turning into Sunrise Radio 3. Production, it's reported, will move from West London to India, which the company says will save costs and improve quality. And BBC Radio 2 raised an enormous £4.1 million through its Children in Need fundraising efforts this week. Live auctions on the Chris Evans Breakfast Show alone brought in £2.7 million of that. Wow. Well done to everyone across the BBC network and local radio stations in all their efforts, all helping towards a record £31 million when it was totaled up at the end of Friday night's telethon. And that's the latest from radiotoday.co.uk. I'm Stuart Clarkson, and this next man is David Lloyd. Radio
Moment. We start this week with one of the most famous identification jingles in the world. Lily Bolero used to signal the BBC World Service since this week in 1955. But that 17th century jig had been heard before on the BBC as a Home Service theme tune.
Into battle. On the occasion of Adolf Hitler's birthday, we present the first of a series of programmes designed in some sort to reflect what he, and we also, may have forgotten. The fighting spirit of the people of Britain. Of all our great writers, none was more conscious, nor wrote more eloquently...
Lily Bolero on air in 1942. Another famous theme tune debuted this week, 35 years ago.
Thursday is also the day when we have a new piece of music to start the day off on Radio 4, and in case you are not up at 6 o'clock in the morning, I play it to you now. So here it is, the new Radio 4 opening music.
The UK theme, composed by Franz Spiegel, being previewed on Radio 4 this week in 1978. It was to wake up the station for 28 years. Staying with Radio 4, and who's that over there? Is it Susan Ray?
BBC News at 9 o'clock. Shares on European markets have fallen again this morning amid growing concerns that the sovereign debt crisis... My apologies for the crash at the beginning of this summary. My desk lamp fell over. BBC News.
And there she was, the lady with the lamp, reading the news on Radio 4 with interruptions this week, 2 years ago. This week in history, we lost some true radio names. It's 31 years since we said farewell to Barry Aldiss.
All the best from Barry Aldiss, whether at home or on the highway. Thanks for tuning my way. The programme, as always, was based on the best-selling records in Britain, as published by the New Musical Express. And the show was brought to you by the makers of Sun Silk Shampoo and Fries, the makers of the new Big Fry Bars, Picnic Crunchy Turkish Delight and Chocolate Cream.
Barry Aldiss, a familiar name on Radio Luxembourg, he became the head of its radio department. He died this week in 1982, aged 52. And 8 years ago this week, a Radio 4 farewell.
Good morning from John Timpson in Brighton, where at 10 to 3 this morning, an explosion extensively damaged the Grand Hotel in which the Prime Minister... And
John Timpson, who died this week in 2005. He hosted Today on Radio 4 for 16 years. Happy birthday to Radio Merseyside. In this cold, foggy week of 67, it began with some ambitious OBs.
My name is Michael Hancock, station manager of Radio Merseyside, and we're broadcasting from the heart of Merseyside, from Commerce House, Liverpool. Out now by radio link to our reporting team, in the air, on the river, and underground. I'm sorry, we can't go to the beacon where...
And how do we know it was foggy that day? Well, we remember the weather forecast.
Now here's the weather forecast for the rest of the day on Merseyside. The dense fog which put a blanket over Merseyside last night cleared up.
Wonderful stuff. It's exactly 2 years this week since Johnny Vaughan suddenly left the Capital Breakfast Show. And it's happy birthday this week to this chap.
Well, listen, that's the end of the show, I'm afraid. Yet another show bites the dust. Thanks very much for listening to us. Thanks to Carrie and, of course, young Andy for sitting so ably and trying not to yawn all the way through. Thanks to all my guests and thanks to you for listening. Join us again soon.
Jonathan Ross, 53, this week. His first radio days there saw him on the Superstation, that early late-night commercial radio network service. So, with Power FM in Hampshire becoming Galaxy South Coast this week 5 years ago, Beat 106 launching in Glasgow 14 years ago, and Kenny Everett's final show on Radio 2 30 years ago.
I'm now going to admit, I've pressed the wrong button! There.
Those are this week's radio moments. But let's finish this edition imagining how it would have been had you been on commentary duty this week 50 years ago on stations like WKRD in Dallas.
And now we take you to Parkland Hospital and Bob Huffaker.
We're at Parkland Hospital, where the horrible announcement has just come that our president is dead. No one wants to say anything on an occasion like this, but someone must have something to say. We have here with us Fort Worth Congressman Jim Wright. Mr. Wright, do you have something to say?
We have just learned that our president is dead. This is a sad day, a day of grief, a day of shame for this land.
Thank you, David. This has been the Radio Today program with Audio Boo, a TDC production. Next week we'll be at the Salford Media Festival. Hope you can join us for that.